News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Checking in with a couple of people on trending stories. So Premier Brad Wall gives a long overdue pep talk to the oil industry. Now, a certain radio talk show host has been ranting for years about the presumptuousness of the oil industry, because you connect the dots, it makes sense. But the oil industry never gets out there and tells the world why oil makes sense. Well, when you hear the number of people who are actually talking about a non-oil economy in Canada, Premier Wall's words will review those to a conference in Regina. The great William Shatner joined me Wednesday of this week. And on Fridays, we look back, we do the recap and all things. We recorded that interview, and I'm going to play back the chat with Bill Shatner. He's in Saskatoon Sunday at a big fan expo. They're expecting over 10,000 people. Sask Expo are the coordinates. When are we going to play Shatner? About 10 o'clock. We'll play the bit of my interview that we did with William Shatner on Wednesday. And it is the morning after debate number two. Now, this debate last night, this one sponsored by the Globe and Mail, focused on the economy, which was a good thing because the economy is ultimately what most of us are going to vote on. The three leaders who count were there. Elizabeth May, I hate to put it to you too rudely, is delusional. 100 Canadians last time when they voted, four of them voted for the Green Party, which is a party of one MP. So the idea that Elizabeth May matters in a nationally significant debate on the economy, I'm sorry, I don't get it. So I'm glad that they had the three leaders, because each or any of these three can be your next prime minister. So stylistically, we're going to get into a minute into what they actually talked about. But stylistically, there were no winners. There were no losers. You had a Justin Trudeau appearing to rush a little time, almost breathlessly. Thomas Mulcair a couple of times got aggressive to the point of angry Tom coming out, and the NDP trying to keep angry Tom away. And Stephen Harper, for his part, measured and calm, reassuring. And for those who think he is boring, it was the same bland, boring Stephen Harper. So stylistically, that's really what you saw. There was a lot of interrupting and quarreling, and unfortunately, those things in a debate. But you did get a sense of what the three parties are trying to do to distinguish from one another and lay out the platform. Greg Peltzer, a regular contributor to this program, is a prof at the University of Saskatchewan's Johnson Shoyama Graduate School of Public Policy and a keen observer of public policy. We check in with Greg Peltzer in Saskatoon this morning. Greg, welcome back.
Thank you.
What did you think of viewing this debate among these three leaders? Were we starting to see some points of clarification on what each of them wants to do with the economy?
I really think we do. And if you're looking at the three leaders, as a conservative, if you're a conservative supporter, you had to be happy with Stephen Harper's performance. He's been championing stay the course. We're going well. And that's the message he's been trying to get out. And I thought he did a very effective job championing the conservative message. And you didn't see the other two leaders really taking big strips off him. And he would be the big target normally on the economy when you're the incumbent prime minister. And then, so we start to see the differentiation between really the Liberals and the NDP as the alternatives to Stephen Harper. And I think the messaging by Trudeau was more effective than what we've seen coming up. He'd been taking a hammering around the deficits. I know the polling suggests across Canada that a lot of Canadians are comfortable with a short or a small deficit. But to flip it in talking about investment in infrastructure, and that's where I think he was really differentiating himself from Thomas Mulcair. And Mulcair was kind of trying to sit in the middle, and he's really, again, I think playing to the Ontario vote, that the NDP are not scary. We won't have Bob Rae government in Ottawa if you elect me. And he was trying hard to put that message forward.
Is there some difficulty or potential risk for Mr. Mulcair? Because, you know, a few months ago, the universal child care benefit checks start coming out. Mulcair says, well, I agree with that part of Harper. Balanced budgets, I agree with that part of Harper. I mean, in many respects, he's sort of saying, I'm with Harper, except I'll spend more money on the most socially vulnerable. I'll have $15 a day daycare. But there's that risk that if you want to sort of do what Harper's doing, Harper becomes the better bet because he's been doing it.
I think you're exactly right. I actually find the NDP campaign a bit strange because basically what Mulcair is trying to position is that there's two leaders that have gray hair, both for the guy with the beard. And that's basically the message he's trying to portray. And the risk for, I think, Mulcair is twofold. One, the Liberals actually look more progressive in terms of the spending. And if you want a fiscally conservative steward of the economy, well, your safer bet is obviously with Stephen Harper, because he came across very prime ministerial. So it puts him in a bit of a very vulnerable position. And you have within the NDP, especially folks connected with the LEAP manifesto, are not happy with where Mulcair is sitting. The other point, I think that Trudeau was very effective vis-a-vis Mulcair is Trudeau says, we aren't going to lie to you. If we're going to make these investments, there's going to be deficits. But do people really believe a Mulcair government with their additional social spending won't run deficits? So there's a credibility factor that I think Mulcair has to overcome.
Greg Peltzer with us here on CKOM and CJME. He's with the Johnson Shoyama Graduate School of Public Policy at the University of Saskatchewan. So on the Trudeau issue is intriguing me. He still comes across in a way stylistically that looks a little young, a little green, a little hurried. But what's been a blizzard of advertising on just not ready, nice hair, though, doesn't appear to have, on the leader's strengths, knocked him off very much from where he was a few months ago.
That's absolutely right. And I think he's been able to weather the storm. And I think the critical thing for him was actually the first debate, because everyone thought he was going to be just stick his head into a meat grinder and we'll have hamburger come out the other end. And it didn't happen in the first debate. So the effectiveness, I think, of the just not ready, it was damaging. There's no two ways around that for him. But it hasn't done additional damage. And when you play it so many times, there's a point to where people, it's a bit ad nauseum. So it doesn't have the same sting or effectiveness that it had, say, 1 or 2 months ago.
So on the Liberals differentiating themselves as the, again, the more progressive or left-wing alternative, does Trudeau run a risk of going back to that kind of, you know, 70s culture, you know, make the rich pay, because he's talking about, anybody of an income of over 200,000, you know, he's going to up their taxes, though he's not going to fool around much with corporate taxes. Is there that, again, is this becoming a pretty clear differentiation between he and Harper?
It is, and it's a very deliberate one. It does carry a risk with it, and I think you've absolutely nailed what the risk is for the Liberals running on that campaign. But what's interesting is when you look at the polling that's been done on the platform, there's a large constituency of Canadians that platform, that message actually resonates. And part of it, and here's where the double messaging around deficits are bad, but we're going to run deficits. Harper has run so many deficits during the majority of his term that people are kind of used to seeing deficits. So I don't think it has the same fear factor as it did when Paul Martin Jr. had to get the fiscal house of the federal government back under control back in the 1990s.
Good point, Greg. Always great having you by. Thank you for this, sir, and we'll chat soon.
You betcha.
Greg Peltzer, professor at the University of Saskatchewan. He's with the Johnson Shoyama Graduate School of Public Policy. And he also heads up the International Center for Northern Governance and Development, and particularly on issues of resources, Western and Prairie economies. He's one of our regular go-to people around here. I'm John Gormley. It is so good to have you here. Now, if you're one of our road warriors who plans on logging in for the next few hours, Boy, do we have a rundown of subjects, of guests, of people to chat with. If you're just coming and going, well, coming up, we'll be talking, among other things, about another court case that gets Canadians debating. How young is too young for a child to be home alone? You know, after school? Is there a period of time, lots of kids have done it, you come home, you wait for mom or dad to get home, you're home a couple of hours by yourself. Is there an age that should not go on? We all know it, but what is the line? We'll talk more about that. My name is John Gormley. This is the week's ultimate open session. We call it the last word. There's no fixed topic. There's no set agenda. If it's on your mind today, let's talk about it here and now, only on News Talk 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm John Gormley. Good to have you here. Here's the first question we start with today. What did you think of the leaders' debate last night? Was there a clear winner for you? Was there a clear loser? Even as much as the spin cycle works, and you should know this, and this has been going on since we had debates. When was the first televised debate? Was it the 68 election when Trudeau was elected, or 72? I can't remember. I think it was 68. Pierre Trudeau. So we've had these big televised debates, but unlike the old way, and this is what I delight in Stephen Harper, the old way used to be the consortium, headed by CBC, and they would dictate the rules of the debate. It would be broadcast one night in English, one night in French, and the CBC would demand Elizabeth May be there and the Bloc Québécois be there. The Bloc Québécois speaking English when they only would run candidates in Quebec. Give me a break. So Harper this time told the consortium, I'm not playing. So he took up the offer of Maclean's to do the first debate. He took up the offer of the Globe and Mail to do the one last night. There will be three other debates, one of them en français. I think maybe two might even be French. But the issue now is different schools, universities, different businesses have offered to sponsor these debates. Now, the problem is you couldn't get them on the telly if you are just a CTV, CBC Global person. You had to go to CPAC, which is the cable public affairs channel, last night, or watch it online. But boy, I thought not a bad debate, I thought. I mean, it was a little flat. Nobody really soared with the Eagles. Nobody dived and fell down. But at least you had a chance to watch the only three leaders who count in terms of potential governance. Because on the 20th of October, you're going to have a prime minister named Stephen Harper or Thomas Mulcair. You may even have a prime minister named Justin Trudeau. So it's good to hear these three on the economy. So what did you think of the debate last night? Join the conversation here, 1-877-332-8255. And when I talk about the spin cycle, so these debates have been going on since the late 60s, early 70s, and the partisans from all three parties, oh, so-and-so won, so-and-so lost, so-and-so had high expectations. You didn't get much of that last night. I'm not sure there was a clear winner or a clear loser. And even watching now, the spin cycle works on social media. Despite the best efforts of people on social media, I think everybody kind of came out ho-hum. But you did learn a little bit more about the three respective party policies. The CJME-CKOM text line is 306-306. But on the phones, it's 1-877-332-8255. What did you think of the debate last night? Let's go to Brian in Saskatoon, sir. Was there a winner, a loser for you, or what was your impression?
It was hard to tell at time. You think with modern technology they could figure out where just one mic is live at a time. And by far, Justin seemed the worst for interrupting, raising his voice, and sucking for air. Like, I wish someone would have told him to stand in the corner for a while to cool down and then come back into it.
So you thought he did more interrupting?
Oh, by far. And his voice was louder. Like, the other two seemed calm. Like, to me, it seemed like the other two were professional. And with Justin, it's just like an agitated teenager. You know,
but he got a lot of his points in, didn't he?
Yes.
So it's important to get your points in. So did he succeed in that regard?
Not in my camp.
1-877-332-8255. Tell me what you think about the debate last night. Perry in Saskatoon, how did you see it?
Well, I seen it. Stephen Harper won the debate. Tom lost a lot of ground. He didn't come across. And actually, the guy asking the questions for Globe and Mail chopped his legs off when he said, that simply won't work. There'll be huge job losses. And, of course, Tom answered with a, you know, a quick snapback. But I thought, wow, for him to be chopped off like that.
Yeah, but see, the moderator shouldn't do that, right? I mean, the moderator should jump in to clear the air and the space. But is it the place of the moderator to actually take a position?
Well, but what has happened is Tom, his plan actually didn't come across, and there's loopholes in it.
Callers, let's talk more about the debate. First, though, on CKOM and CJME Now, it's today's Heroes and Zeros.
I'm not trying to be your hero.
My hero.
I think you just became my personal hero.
That zero is too cold for me.
Zero?
You're a bald-faced liar.
Okay, this guy is a real zero.
Today's hero is Rene Arcand, Edmonton Good Samaritan, but what a weird story. Rene sees a car swerving. It turns out a 60-year-old diabetic with low blood sugar had lost consciousness, so Rene pulls over, runs to help the guy. A thief steals her SUV. Police later located it, but to Rene Arcand, who selflessly helped someone, you are a hero. Today's zero, James Nash, Doaktown, New Brunswick pedophile, 53 years old. He'll be on the National Sex Offender Registry, and as recently as earlier this year, he was still violating young children. He gets only 3 years in the pen. James Nash is a zero. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.